This is the West Coast Project podcast for Louie TV. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, we're on West Coast Project and starting to talk about the show without hardly a hello. So I wanted to just say hi first.
Yeah.
But you're chomping at the bit. So what was your comment?
Oh, I really, really wasn't. I was just saying I feel like there's always an excuse for me on why this is hard, why this episode's hard. And this time didn't have so much to do with the episode, but it had a whole lot more to do with Mad Men ending and how much time and energy that I put into Mad Men. And I don't think I can't help comparing.
Well, this is for Louie. So just one last thought about Mad Men. Did you think Don wrote the ad for the Coke commercial?
Well, I thought he did anyway. But then, of course, we read that article from Weiner that said he did. Said, of course he did. I think that was in the article.
Yeah, I think he did. I always thought he did.
Yeah, I did too. It just didn't even dawn on me that he didn't. But there's so much about that that's just like really pressing on my mind. I really wish we had done Mad Men.
Also, Don had always wanted to go to Italy, and that commercial was shot in Italy when it was shot in 1970 or 71.
Oh, was it really?
So that was another kind of subtle clue that it was Don.
Well, I mean, it was Don. It was Don. It was the same people that he had come in contact with, but...
Yeah, but he could have gone and told Peggy about it. This is what people wear in California. It's really groovy.
Yeah.
He could have done it over the phone. But yeah, I know. It was Don.
It was Don.
So this is Louie. The road is not kind to Louie, Michelle.
And Louie's not kind to the road.
Is travel exciting or drudgery to you?
It's exciting to me. It's drudgery. It's exciting to think about. It's exciting to do. It's the particulars can be drudgery. What do you think?
I think it's exciting, but then I think Louie told the exact way it is for me. It's kind of cool. You get out on the road. You're kind of free as a bee, floating through an airport, and then you land at your hotel, and you're like, oh, this is it. This is it for the next day or 3 days, especially the hotel he ended up at. But I read Sepinwall's article about this, and I think a lot of people, including Sepinwall, are calling this kind of a placeholder episode for what's about to come next week, kind of setting Louie up for what he's going to do on the road next week. Because I think next week he gets picked up in Charlotte by the club owner's daughter. Or the club owner is a female. So maybe there's a romantic something or other coming up for next week.
Where did you get that?
In HitFix, Sepinwall's, Alan Sepinwall.
And they knew that about next week's...
Well, I guess I get the fact that it's a placeholder. It did seem kind of placeholder-y to me.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that part.
Sepinwall said that. I don't know about the... I think it was a Next On or something with the girl picking him up.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that anywhere. So
yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So Louie starts out this episode.
Yeah, this one was kind of... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This one was kind of what?
It was kind of odd. I agree. I was thinking about it. I didn't read what you had read on it, but I had the same thoughts on it, that it almost had to be building to something. But then again, knowing Louie and the lack of continuity a lot of times, who knows? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just the whole thing was just a series of mediocrity. Like it was things would start to build to something and then just fizzle out is what it felt like to me.
Well, there are continuity glitches in this episode too. Like, he's headed to Oklahoma next, but I don't think he ever goes to Oklahoma because he's in Cincinnati, and then he gets on his way to Charlotte. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But we're so used to that with Louie that it doesn't ruin anything. It's just like, oh, you got a black wife 1 week and a white wife the next week. You're going to Cincinnati, you're going to Oklahoma, and then Charlotte, but we don't get to see Oklahoma. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just roll with it. But it starts out with Louie packing, and I pack like this, Michelle.
I swear, I have that written down.
that I pack like this or you do?
No, you know I don't pack like that. But to ask you, is that how you pack? That is such a guy thing.
Except for the sweating, I do the day by day. Like tonight, tomorrow, Friday. I put the clothes in and say the days.
You don't? Do you really?
Yeah.
You don't put in a sweating pair of underwear?
I don't put in a sweating day, but I put in like a non-work, like, because you don't just wear all your stuff. You usually wear two different things in a day. Like you wear like your relaxing stuff before you go to sleep, or you sleep in stuff. So yeah, I do that, but I do it like that, kind of how much time and what segment of time, what I'm going to wear for that segment of time.
And it takes you like as long as it took him to pack?
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
No, less than that.
Okay.
3 minutes.
Okay, yeah. I don't know that girls typically pack that way.
Well, Louis always wears the same outfit, too, so it's real easy for him.
That was another thing. It was just like the gray and the black and just the mediocrity of everything. I mean, you know, his, like, underwear that he's throwing in there is, like, all the same. And I don't know that guys have different underwear. Who knows? But you know, I mean, it's just like everything was just, like, mediocrity in this.
Well, I don't wear underwear, Michelle, but when I do, it's usually something pretty special. That's okay. That's a Bill Murray joke.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that one. So,
but the other cool thing, he just leaves. He just leaves quickly and he flies. He's on the plane. Beverage cart bashes him awake, and the flight attendant just says, "Oh, rise and shine." No apology.
Nope. He looks kind of stuffed on there and slightly miserable. So.
I like airports, especially in this singular mode, like Louis. He's just by himself. He gets to an airport, and, you know, Louis would be recognized. I'm not recognized by people, so you're just anonymous. You can just do whatever you want. You can have a Cinnabon, or you can go have a drink, or you can go buy a stupid souvenir. Nobody's going to criticize you or usually not recognize. You don't get seen by a lot of people that know you when you're in a new city. I like that feeling of anonymity.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get recognized that much in my own town, so I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I could see that, particularly in a case of somebody who is more public, for sure.
Well, Louis goes to Cincinnati, and he gets picked up by the driver, Mike. And Mike doesn't even seem to recognize him. He's holding up his sign, and Louis comes walking up, and he doesn't just brighten up and say, "Oh, Louis, hey, how's it going?" He just keeps holding the sign.
Yeah, and that was another one of those non-continuous things. You know, it's like, where are we with him now? Is he known or is he not known? Because he's not treated like he's known. I mean, everybody knows Louis, right? I mean, I could pass him and I would know him, even if I didn't do the podcast or didn't watch the show as diligently as we do. I would know Louis. And so I don't think that he's as known
I bet a pretty fair lot of people would not know Louis if they saw his face walking through an airport.
What percentage would you
think? A lot would. I don't know. I'd call it a 50-50.
You think?
Yeah.
You think 50? I don't even think 50 would know him. I think maybe 25 would know him.
I would say that could be true, too. That he's, you know, he's pretty popular. But if 2 or 3 million people or 6 million people watch his show, that's only 1/50th, right? That's like 2%.
But that's still a lot of people. As far as, like, people in the airport, if 1 in 50 people know you, that's a lot.
Yeah, I bet 1 or 2 people would come running up and asking for an autograph. But it's entirely plausible that that driver didn't know him and just holding the sign.
Yeah, I mean, why would the guy... Yeah, the driver even acted like he didn't recognize him. So I agree. I thought that was... I just can't tell where we're at with his success so far.
So that guy kind of holds the sign as they walk away until Lou tells him... You don't need to hold the sign up anymore.
That was funny.
And Mike has never been to New York. He's trying to engage Louis in conversation in the car. What's it like? Can you describe it? And Louis doesn't want to talk to Mike. He's just tired and wants to get to his room. And this makes Mike pretty sad. Almost tears up. Mike almost tears up at this point.
Yeah, and then Louis goes out of his way to not only tell him about it, but really go into almost like a child's story about it. And what did you think about that? He was kind, even though he didn't want to be again, I think.
Well, I think he was guilty. Louis felt bad that Mike, he made Mike sad. So he kind of tells him, it's a big place, it's great. You can always find new things. Yeah, like you're right. It's a magical land to a child.
Yeah, that's kind of how he did. It was almost like he was telling a story to a kid. You never get over how big it is. You can walk for days and never leave downtown. I mean, it was totally exaggerated. And
not that exaggerated.
It's there's certainly lots of stuff going on, but it's not that big. I mean, you cannot walk for days and not leave downtown. I mean, I'm sure you could walk like around downtown for days, but you couldn't walk like in a straight line for, I mean,
well,
I don't
that's
know.
Not what he that's means. Just, he means like in a museum, you could walk around it for days and not see everything.
Yeah, but he can't, well, that's not how I took it. I took it as like, you could walk for days and you'd still just be in the heart of downtown. And he goes on to say something like, you can see something new every day that you never in your lifetime thought you would see. He's building it up. It's a Santa Claus story.
I think that description is pretty accurate. I think he did mean you could walk around every day for a month and find something new.
Oh, well,
not,
sure.
Not a linear, you walk, you know, you've walked 48 miles and now you're still in the city.
It's well, like that's how I took it.
Okay.
I did. I just felt like he was just exaggerating it, you know? I mean, you're not going to see many, many things that you never, well, maybe you would, that you never in your life thought you would see. I don't know. I just thought it was very, he was trying to tell the guy a story. He was trying to make up for his lack of interest in the friendship with the guy, in the community with the guy. So he has to tell him something great. And he even does like inflection and stuff as he's telling this.
I believed him. I thought he was being accurate. So I'll disagree with you on that.
Okay.
So, but then Mike pushes it. Like he knows, kind of knows he's tone deaf to what Louis just tired, doesn't want to really talk. Louis gives him a little nugget and Mike pushes it. Well, what are the people like? So Louis has to come up with more stuff to talk about. But they get to the room and man, Cincinnati just looks crappy and cold and wintry. Snow on the ground in the way. Louis has to drag his suitcase through the snow bank at that hotel.
You would think there could be a better parking spot for him to get in, not have to go, you know, across, you know, up a hill and a big snowbank, but who knows.
But it's not even a lobby. It's like you go, like, first of all, how did he have the key already to the room? Mike already had set that all up?
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that too, but I'm going to give him a pass on that and say that Mike did that for him.
It's a Motel 86.
A Motel 86, and there's like shopping carts abandoned in the parking lot and auric vacuums sitting in the parking lot. This place is like, it's sad. It's
yeah,
a sad
so this
place
is like this
be.
Is a hybrid of a Motel 8 and a Motel 6. Is that 86 or 86 meaning you're dead? You're 86.
I don't know. I took it as like a Motel 6, but is there a Motel 8?
I think so.
Okay, I don't know.
It's a little nicer than a 6.
Oh, is it? Yeah, a couple steps up.
But it's crappy when you go to a hotel and there's no, like, it's nice when you go to a hotel and there's a lobby and you go and check in. Oh, there's the elevator bank and you go up in your room. It's like nice lobby-ish, like it's a nice, not when you got to walk outside to like the, you know, like the hotel in Breaking Bad, you know, the shitty hotel Louis in here where you go in from the outside world to your room, like a strip mall hotel.
Yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic, and he's not happy with it. But it was sad, a sad place to be.
Louis complains to Doug, his 16-year-old agent. He wants a Radisson or a Marriott, not a shitty Hotel 86.
And he doesn't even care to pay for it at this point.
Yeah, he'll pay more for it. Doesn't care if it's more.
Right. He's depressed over this. And I think he's... It even goes farther. It's like he's depressed that that's where they're putting him, you know, because it would be different if it were your own choice about that kind of thing. But he didn't even know where he was going. So it's like someone else made the decision of his worth.
Yeah, cheap. His agent actually says it.
Right.
I just want to make profit. I want to keep profit in the deal.
Right.
But Louis, you know, maybe that's your answer about how famous he is. Maybe he's not really supposed to be as famous as he really is in real life now. He's just kind of a up-and-comer, not super famous guy.
Right, but he talks about being 47 in this episode. So we know it's kind of now. And then at the same time, I don't know, lack of continuity in it. It's hard to tell.
Louis gets a visitor in that room, Michelle, some guy looking for Roger.
Yep.
Louis is annoyed again. He gives this guy the same treatment he's trying to give Mike. He's dead. Just shuts the door. He's dead. Don't.
And did you see the look on the guy's face when he said that?
Well,
I mean,
Roger's
the guy's face
buddy.
Just like dropped. I mean, the guy's face is just like, I mean, he believed him.
Well, think about the math on that conversation. You know, you're a guy looking for your friend and you knock on a motel room door, which is pretty ballsy to start with. And then you see a guy you don't know, like he sees Louis. He doesn't know Louis. He's like, where's Roger? So why would you ask a stranger? Why would you assume a stranger knows Roger?
Unless, well, maybe that was Roger's room, and he thought maybe that was a friend of Roger's or something.
Yeah, but you don't just say, where the hell's Roger? You say, oh, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not acquainted with you, but I'm looking for my friend Roger.
Well, this guy looked like, you know, I mean, he...
Underworld, I know. He's criminal.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, he doesn't follow social protocol.
I wouldn't think, no.
And then we hear about Louis' next trip to Oklahoma City, I guess, or Oklahoma, because he's complaining to Doug, his agent, about a better room.
Right, and he just wants to know where he's going to be staying next time. And Doug doesn't want to tell him, which leads us to believe that it may not be, you know.
It's worse. He's going to go to a condo with his own bedroom, but he's sharing it with someone.
But he's sharing it with the featured act. So that's going to be interesting.
I'd rather have a shitty 86 room than a shared condo with someone.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. And plus, Louis has talked about, he hasn't yet, but he does talk about, well, yeah, he kind of did. Just wanting to be by himself, you know, wanting the privacy as he's on the road.
Yeah, that's why it's worse to share it. Yeah, but you're right. The agent kind of doles it out in little trickles of information, not just the whole thing, to kind of protects himself from Louis's wrath.
But why does Louis tell him that it's not his fault? Because Doug says he just wants him to be happy, and Louis says, yeah, I know, it's not your fault. If that's the agent, isn't it his fault?
Yeah. It's the same thing. He's trying to be nice. He realizes he's put somebody in a spot where they feel bad or they feel guilty or they feel sad, and he gets remorse. He feels bad that he's done that. Like Mike, he just felt sad about what's New York like. He feels bad. He's a good guy, so he doesn't like hurting people's feelings.
Yeah.
He's criticizing this agent. Like, so that's your job, to make sure I get a room that's decent. And then he realizes the agent feels hurt by not doing his job well. And he kind of lets him off the hook.
Yeah.
Turns out Roger is not dead, Michelle. Roger, the guy who originally thought he was, is mad that he was told Roger's dead. Roger's right there, standing right there.
Yeah, and he's like beating on the window, yelling it. That was pretty funny. That was good.
And Louis just shuts him off by closing the curtain. And then he reclines in that sad orangey color scheme that every frickin' Hotel 86 has, with crappy pillows and orange, shitty yellow light.
That's so funny, because I actually made a note there. The same thing, dingy, sad-looking bed, and turns on the TV. I made that exact note right there. Yeah, it was a sad-looking place.
Yep, and that kind of fades out. So we do never see him go to Oklahoma, so I don't know why he dropped that in there, but...
Well, maybe that's where he's going, as he's... No... Well, maybe. Maybe he's... I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he goes to Atlanta... Because he's in Atlanta next. He's going from Cincinnati to Atlanta, Atlanta to Charlotte, and Charlotte to Oklahoma.
That's a shitty planned trip.
I don't know. Well, maybe it was the cheapest. It's the Motel 86 of air travel.
But he's got a show in Charlotte.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Anyway, so then we get our first commercial break. Come back. Louis eating probably room service, some sort of a room service burger.
You think that place has room service?
Well, or he went out and got it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't. I wouldn't imagine that place has room service. That looked like a burger from the corner convenience store or something.
Mike calls him. He's ready to leave 2 hours early. And Louis just says, hey, just how far is it? How long of a drive? 15 minutes? Well, pick me up, you know, a half hour before, not 2 hours before. So Mike's stuck hanging out alone for 90 minutes. And he asks Louis, should I wait out here or come inside with you? Wait with you. Again, he's tone deaf. He doesn't get a clue that Louis just wants to be left the hell alone till he needs to be driven somewhere.
What did you think about that?
I think Mike is a there but for the grace of God is me version of Louis.
Ooh.
He's kind of a nice guy. He's kind of a schlub. And he's got a kind of a shitty job as his driver. And he wants to connect with people. And he's lonely. And, you know, his heart's on his sleeve. He doesn't try to protect his feelings at all. I think Louis probably thinks, Jesus, if I didn't hit it big or meet the right person or do this, you know, the right routine at the right time, I could have been this schlub.
Okay, I did not think of that, but that's interesting.
Well, he gets to the comedy club, and we see a little bit of comedy. And this was a pretty good bit, I thought, Michelle. Isn't it weird that our favorite thing is a secret? It's in the what is the meaning of this format, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, everybody's like, oh, you're thinking about sex? How dare you? Like, but that's what everybody thinks about. You know, you see somebody in the supermarket and you kind of size them up. I mean, not that you do this like a hound dog in heat all day, but everybody's all so shocked. Like, you were thinking about sex? Oh, how shocking. What is the meaning of this?
Well, it's so important that we cover it. That was the funniest part of it. It's like, we must cover it. It's that important.
Yeah, Louis says everyone should just reach out to each other and admit they want to have sex. Just eliminate that secret. Stop pretending and, like you said, stop covering it. And Mike likes this act. Mike thinks it's funny.
Yeah, Mike's in the audience laughing. He's almost stalkerish at this point, but, I mean, I guess he's got to be there, so he should be in there, but it was just, I wasn't counting on him panning to him and seeing him in the audience laughing at this. I don't know. It just struck me as a little bit, ooh.
Well, if he's got to drive him, as soon as he's done, he's going to drive him again. So he could go away, which is stupid, or sit in the car, which is, I guess, another option. Why not just go in and stand in the club? You know, that seems.
Oh, absolutely. It just seemed, you know, I don't know, it was just like more of an intrusion on Louis for some reason. I started feeling a little protective of Louis in his desire to have some privacy, as ridiculous as that even sounds coming out of my mouth, because to see this guy who has just tried his best, like really almost forced his way into Louis's bubble, I don't know. I just kind of hated to see him there.
Yeah, you're right. It did seem like that. So driving Louis back, Mike starts talking about Bill Burr. Billy Burr was here last week. He's awesome. And Mike loves him, too. I really like Bill Burr as a comedian. Mike says Bill Burr was nice. Like, you might not be as nice as Bill Burr, Louis.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely inferring that, at least. And he shook hands with everybody. He's a nice guy. He was cool. I mean, he just kept on. He was. Do you think he was poking for reaction from Louis?
Yeah, like, maybe not even consciously. Just like, oh yeah, he was really nice. Like, not a little nicer than you are being to me. Did you you recognize Bill Burr, right, Michelle?
Uh huh.
Yeah, Bill Burr is super funny, and he seems nice. I've heard him on a few podcasts, and he seems like a nice guy. And of course, Bill Burr was Kubi in Breaking Bad. And the truck driver, I guess Kubi, he was Kubi in both. He was the water inspector guy and the truck driver. But Bill Burr had Mike squire him around to the cool places. Like, he kind of counted on Mike. And I think Mike wants to play that role with Louis.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I think he's saying that to him because he wants Louis to go, oh, okay, let's go. And I thought Louis was gonna, you know? I thought Louis was gonna, because he seemed to easily guilted, and I thought he was going to say, all right, Mike, let's, you know, go hang out. Take me around to the funnest places around this Motel 86, and but he didn't.
In Cincinnati. So Louis shuts all that down. That's great. It's cool that they were cool. I'm different. The road is not an adventure, and it's like going to the toilet.
It's just something he's got to do. And this is where he points out that he's 47. And it was pretty telling, too. What did you think about that when he's saying, I've met everybody. I've been everywhere. I've met everybody. I've even met you.
Well, I think you figuratively meant that.
Sure, sure he did. But what a terrible thing to say to somebody. That was like the coldest thing.
Well, it happens again. This is the third time Louis' regret of being mean. I mean, he feels bad again, I think, that he kind of shuts this guy down.
Does he feel bad? Because I didn't get that at this point.
Yeah,
I think he was over it at this point.
They cut to a commercial pretty quick, but I think that's where it was going. But
well, I hope so, because I mean, like, Mike is like starting to cry. That's a mean thing to say. Somebody comes up and they're interested in you in whatever way. I mean, whatever, you know, normal way, they're interested in you, and you're like, I don't need you. I've met you before.
Well, that's because they want to have sex with you. Weren't you paying attention? Not you. I mean, that's what people want to do.
Okay.
So we cut right to a commercial, come back from the commercial. Louis in another airport, and I'm thinking, okay, where's the Oklahoma City Thunder souvenirs, and where's the, you know, the Sooners football jerseys? But it's not Oklahoma, I don't think. It's Atlanta.
Yeah, he's in Atlanta. And what is the music they're playing in this episode?
What is the music in this?
Yeah, what is the music? What is the meaning of the music? This music was horrible. It was horrible. Oh my gosh, it was like my ears were bleeding. The music.
It's kind of cool at first, but it gets more and more discordant as we go through different airports.
Bizarre. It's bizarre.
It gets wilder and wilder. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I saw a couple notes from people, comments from people trying to figure out, you know, they tried to sound hound it and stuff and couldn't get it to come up for anything. But it degrades it so much at the end that it's just like moaning an animal sound.
I know.
But Louis's hungry, Michelle. He goes to Jizzy Buns. And he's considering the hot pour bun, which I think he was really thinking, I might try that. The bun, you chew up the bun and you put your mouth under the spigot.
That sounds sanitary, doesn't it?
Made me think of Saul Goodman when I saw this Jizzy Buns. Where was Saul Goodman?
Oh, yeah, interesting. I didn't get that, but that wouldn't that have been great if Saul would have been the one behind the counter?
Well, he's not in Atlanta, though.
Well, you're
right.
He's
in Omaha. But the girl has to tell him, wait, hold on, don't get too excited here. I'm just kidding. He's really thinking about doing this, I think.
Maybe, or maybe he just thinks that's the most bizarre thing he's ever heard in his life. He's sitting there, like, just standing there looking at her, like, completely with this flat affect. And as she's going over these different kinds, and he can see the buns, they're right there, and he's like, is this like cinnamon buns with topping and all this? And I mean, they're behind a glass, they're right there. He knows what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, who doesn't know what a jizzy bun is?
Well, okay.
Well, Louis gets on the shuttle with his bun, and I think he does a pretty good tactical job of eating here, Michelle. Does really well with his eating. He uses his suitcase as a table. Everything's neat and tidy. He's got it locked between his legs, and he's using a fork and a knife, and he looks like he's pretty together eating his jizzy bun on the shuttle.
Yeah. Do you eat a cinnamon bun like that?
Unless you want jizzy all over your fingers.
I'm going to drop this right there. Okay.
Well, unless you want Cinnabon syrup and goo all over your hand.
but who would do that with us?
I bet a lot of people. Do you dress up on your trip and you'd pick it up and just start chowing it?
I would pick it up. I would pick the bun up and shove it in my face.
What do you do with the gluey, goopy syrup all over your fingers?
Well, see, Mike, I've packed like a girl, so I have some hand wipies with me.
Well, do you think Louis has hand wipes with him?
I do not, but he could use his sweaty underwear.
Yeah, that sounds delectable.
Okay.
So, Michelle, we know he's in Atlanta now, but it's not Atlanta International Airport. It's Hartsfield, right? Or do they call it Atlanta International?
I'm pretty sure that's the same.
Well, do they call it that, though?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
And the guy on the loudspeaker was funny, too. He's like, "You're in Atlanta International Airport." He's like the announcer.
He's the yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it was always called Hartsfield. But, Michelle, the tram system in Atlanta, I know you've been there. Have you ever walked it where you usually take the train? Have you ever just walked it?
No. No, I don't think I have. I'm pretty sure I've taken the tram. I mean, just walking to the tram is a good little walk. It's a big place.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I've walked it just for exercise when I had time. I've gone to Atlanta a lot. And just to have time, when you have time, it's like, oh, I'll just walk it. But you could literally walk probably a mile from one terminal to the main terminal.
Yeah, and that's just from terminal to terminal. I mean, if you're going, you know, even farther, that I don't know. It's a good little...
Well, it's not a mile from terminal to terminal. It's probably a mile, though, from the farthest flung terminal to the other side. Mile's pretty far for an airport.
I guess, but, I mean, maybe it just seems longer because you're carrying your packages and your cinnamon buns.
So. No packages. One little suitcase. One little easy trip. I saw a lady locked in a bathroom once at Hartsfield in Atlanta.
What do you mean?
Somehow the door got stuck.
Oh, my God.
And she couldn't get out. So she was like, you heard the, I'm stuck in here. And she's crying. She was really, really upset. And they couldn't get the door open. So she wasn't, you know, not like maliciously locked in. The door just got locked or stuck. And she was in there a long time. Everyone was kind of waiting for their plane at the terminal or at the gate. And like, you know, 40 minutes she was in there crying. One lady went and got her something to eat and slid it under the door. And it came sliding back out. I don't want food. I want to get out of here. Like, she was just trying to be really nice to her and just sent her something to eat. And she shoved it back out, like, all mad.
You mean she was locked in a stall?
No, in the bathroom itself.
Well, how would something go under the door? I don't know. The door got stuck. How much space is there under a door?
There was enough to slide a thing under there, and she shot it back out.
Like a pixie stick or something? I mean, what can you put underneath the door?
Like a churro. It wasn't like a chicken dinner. You know,
it wasn't a cinnamon bun or something?
I don't think it was as thick as a cinnamon. It might have been a pretzel or a churro or something. But it was funny. It came sliding back out into the walkway.
I mean, you could at least keep it.
Right.
Because it's kind.
She was too stressed to eat.
Well, that's okay. I mean, pretend like you did. Or I don't know.
I think they finally got her out. I don't think... I think she got out.
Well, I hope.
She's not like Huel, but... I think she got out before I left. I can't even remember. But back on the tram in Atlanta, football team of rowdy Islamic kids gets on. A whole bunch of them. They get on, but they don't all get off. One feral kid is left behind like a puppy. And Louis has to herd him or her off the train to find the mama.
You know, that's actually a pretty scary thing on unmanned kind of entrances and exits. I don't know if you've ever had this experience or ever even thought about it, but it's a pretty scary thing, like elevators and kids and trams and kids and stuff that you can't, you know, I mean, like a bus, like a MARTA CARTA bus or something, the driver's not going to drive off until you're all on or all off if they notice. But on something where there's no human interaction to get somebody to stop, that that's a really scary thing. I know as a mom, you know, getting on even elevators with more than a couple of little kids, if one kid decides to run out as that door closes, it's just, it's terrifying. So anyway,
yeah, I've never had that concern.
Yeah, it's a true concern, and it's really scary. Kind of like that thing with Louis when his daughter ran out on the subway.
Yeah.
It's a pretty scary thing.
So Louis calls the security system on the crappy speaker. Security people on the security crappy speaker system. And the puppy kid runs away and never to be seen again, right?
No, that was just it. It was just like, okay, a couple things about this scene. That was another instance. We can't really even hear the words in the music. They're all like garbled. We can't understand the words that someone's saying back to him in this emergency semi at least situation. And the kid is like making mewing sounds at him, almost animal like sounds. Everything about the communication is like he can't communicate with Mike to let him know that he didn't want to have this conversation. Mike, you know, doesn't get his communication. He's not able to get anybody else's communication. It's just like everything is the girl at the cinnamon bun store. They don't get each other. It's like they're not communicating. She's like, I'm obviously kidding. And the whole thing is just like the agent, Doug, he doesn't get Louis's communication. I don't know. The whole thing is like this lack of being able to understand somebody and how frustrating that would be.
Yeah, that's a pretty good take. Louis's kind of isolated in the world. Nobody understands him. I want to be left alone. I need this. I need that. And you don't get it. You don't hear me, what I'm trying to say.
No, and he can't understand other people. It's like he's not getting understood, and he's not understanding. And what about the kid? Because the kid ran off, he suddenly feels no more obligation.
What are you going to do?
I mean, I guess. He just, like, kind of shrugs his shoulders and gets back on the trip. Why bother helping the kid in the first place?
Yeah, Louis could have easily caught that kid. He's a little kid running, and Louis's a big man. He could run up and catch him.
You'd think.
But nope, more rock out music, and Louis gets back on the shuttle, and I guess he's headed for Charlotte. Now, pre-boarding, Michelle, for people who are dying or afraid. That was funny. And there were a couple people dying and afraid. One lady has to wake up her husband in a coma or whatever.
Okay, I'm completely lost.
Well, he's getting them ready to go on the plane to Charlotte, and they say pre-boarding for people who need additional time or who are dying or afraid.
They said that?
Yeah.
Because I missed that. Okay, I completely missed that. That's hilarious.
And then there was wasn't there a scene of a lady like trying to wake up her husband or I don't know. It looked like there was somebody who looked. There were a couple people looking comatose in their chairs. Like
well, they, yeah, bored certainly.
Yeah, but that was dying or afraid.
Okay.
And Louis realizes in line that he's forgotten his bag. So Michelle, what was on that lady's bag that made him remember this? It looked like a thong or something. The thing you put on your bag to identify it from everybody else's.
Yeah. I thought it was just an identifier, you know, like a little tab or something that you put on there. I just took it that Louis saw her bag and saw that. But a thong, if it were a thong, he would think about underwear and his lack of, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it was a chance to make something funny out of it, and I couldn't tell what it was, so I'm just being a smartass saying it's a thong. But it looked pretty big. It looked bigger than what most people have.
Yeah, I couldn't make out what that was either. I don't know.
So he doesn't find his bag. And Michelle, there's a big hassle in reporting your bag, especially when you're in a hurry, you're trying to make the next flight. And he's in line to get on the plane. He can't start looking for your bag. There's no quick enough fix to solve this problem.
Have you ever lost your carry-on?
Yeah, not my carry-on, really? But my check-in.
Well, check-in, yeah, but this is his carry-on, and he's lost it.
He just left it behind, though. It's not right. Like they lost. Yeah, it's his fault.
Yeah, but how would you even begin? I mean, surely there's a place in a place where people get locked in bathrooms. Surely there's a place that all stray luggage go, which I guess we find out, huh?
Well, the one thing you don't do is go to the slowest guy in the history of airports to find it, who says, oh, you should contact your carrier for more information. Like, that's not going to help me at this point. And he says he's going as fast as he can, and he's walking like 1 mile an hour.
Well, yeah, and he's also saying, you know, it's kind of not my problem.
Louis does get an interesting little diversion here. He gets a cool ride through the airport on this guy's cart through the tarmac. And they see some pretty fun stuff. They see a guy picking bullets out of an airplane's belly.
Okay, tell me that's not true.
Sounds like it happens every day. Almost every plane.
I really need to know that's not true.
People shooting at planes for fun. I don't know. I would probably say it's not true.
Okay.
JetBlue gets a pretty nice product placement here, though. It's the JetBlue cart, JetBlue airplanes, JetBlue terminals. Their name's on every little cart they go by and in and around. It's pretty much JetBlue.
Yep.
And then they see Louis' bag from afar. He has to look at it with binoculars because they're about to put it into the controlled demolition container.
It's
just another black bag. It's not there's no panties on it to identify it.
Yeah, he didn't have an identifier on his bag. Bad decision. Would you have taken the chance? I think it's showing again how not brave Louis is, how unwilling without some kind of force he is to step out on a ledge, so to speak. He won't even say, I mean, that was probably his bag. But there again, if he says it's his bag and then they, you know, open it up and it's full of arms or something, of course, it's going to be in a lot of trouble.
No, maybe. You just say, oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't, I guess it isn't mine.
Well, of course, I mean, who's going to say it at that point, though? I don't know. He's certainly taken a chance on it being a problem if he says it is, right?
Because otherwise,
well, then why wouldn't he say it was? Why wouldn't
because
he say, yeah,
he just was, he wasn't sure. It's the situation Louis's in. He can't decide. He's just kind of drifting through these adventures.
Well, yeah, but he was fearful. You're fearful. Otherwise, you would at least say, well, let me take a look. But he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but say it is full of bombs or arms or something that you don't want. You wouldn't say it is your bag if you knew there were arms and bombs in it.
Well, of course not, but he couldn't tell is the point. He had no way to know, and couldn't he have at least, like, gotten closer? I mean,
I would have not even gotten out of line to get on the plane. If all I knew I had in there was some black T-shirts, some jeans, and some underwear, I would have just gotten on the plane and do what he does, ultimately.
Yeah.
Why interrupt your flight, your day, your schedule? You got to find a place to stay now or catch another flight. All for, you know, $100 worth of clothes.
Yeah, $100 worth of, you know, old clothes and just, you know, I don't know though. I don't know. I could see him getting out of line and trying to do it, but
no, he took a shuttle away and he had to go back to the shuttle. How is he going to find it in time? Just missing the flight is way more valuable than the stuff in that bag.
Really?
Yeah, just the inconvenience of it. What if his gig is in Charlotte that night?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
But the guy, the slow guy, does give him pretty good service, taking him through all this stuff. It ultimately takes him right to the tarmac again, to the walk upstairs, and gets right on the plane. Pretty good. Louis gets on and walks right to his seat. Now, JetBlue First Class, Michelle, I never noticed a first class like that. It looks pretty nice. They have like their own little offices in their seats.
Is that what that was? Was it first class?
Well, yeah, because he got on in the front, and they had their own little sectioned off little areas for their seats.
So they're going to fly him first class.
Well, he walked through first class. He never sit. I didn't see him sit down anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, first class is always in the front, and that's where the guy let him on.
Well, yeah, but like Atlanta, he was going to Charlotte, right? That was like, what, an hour flight? Hour? I mean, you know.
Yeah, but people have first class flights for seats for a 1 hour flight.
Well, yeah. I don't picture those people staying in a Motel 86, though. But I don't know.
So Louis gets to Charlotte, I guess. He's at the airport again, and he's buying stuff. He gets a new bag and a clothes and an ice cream cone. I guess he gets the bag and the ice cream cone. He's not a very discerning shopper, Michelle. He shops, again, kind of by the days, just like he packed.
Oh, I know. It was like he was doing it again. In my mind, as he was throwing the stuff in the bag, he was going Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yep, and the cashier isn't even fazed by it. This guy packing and shopping at the same time. Life goes on.
And he's eating a lot of junk food.
Well, you always eat junk food when going through airports. That's life on the road. This is the road.
Ice cream and cinnamon rolls.
Look at him. Look at his physique.
Yeah.
And that was it. There was no major point, you know, no major relationship, no major theory, philosophy, just a little bit of travel, a little bit of inconvenience, a little bit of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, but I kept thinking something was going to go somewhere, like with the kid, you know, that could have been like a big deal thing. And it was like, it just like fizzled out. And the bag, that could have been a big deal thing. And it just fizzled out.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of inconvenience. It was no inconvenience. It just meant buying some more clothes, getting ready. He didn't miss anything. Didn't miss a beat.
A lot of frustration, I think, is a better word.
Not any more than he would normally have anywhere else in the world on a typical day.
Right, but I think that's kind of the point, right, is that he's kind of burnt out on this kind of frustration and the value. I mean, but he doesn't place a lot of value on himself or on, you know, his belongings or anything like that. But it's like, you know, nobody places any value on him. I don't know. It was an odd episode to me. And hopefully it was a placeholder to something else.
You're not satisfied with just the road part one?
I'm glad there's a part two.
Well, this is a short season, Michelle, from Tennessee. Only 8 episodes. And this was episode 7, The Road Part 1. Next week is number 8, The Road Part 2.
I can't believe this is over already. I mean, one more week and it's over?
And he has no major love interest.
Well, except, you know, Pamela.
That's not his focus this season, though, doesn't seem to be. It's more about...
No.
I don't know what it is about... The career, the girls, the daughters, and being a dad. And
I don't think he's over Pamela, though.
No, he's not.
But, yeah.
But last season was Tip with a very strong theme of relationships.
But I've really liked this season. Still, even though I'm a bit confused. And this wasn't deep enough, I don't think, to be my favorite episode by far, but I didn't dislike it at all.
I don't know if I like this season so much as I just like watching Louis, just seeing him in situations in life that I've been in before, and seeing what he does is just interesting to me.
I don't know. I like this season. I like this Louis. I like it much more than early Louis. And there was a lot of speculation that he was going to go back to the way it was in the beginning, and I'm just glad he didn't. I'm glad that it follows along more with last season. So,
well, that's it for 507, The Road Part 1. You can find our podcast streams on westcoastproject.com. My Twitter is @scathingtweets. And Michelle, what's yours?
@Michelle from TN.
Do you have any last thoughts before The Road Part 2 next week?
No thoughts.
All right, well, I'll see you in Charlotte.
See you there.
Bye.
Bye-bye.